Our scripture reading this evening will be from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Can you hear me? Are we good? Perfect. Yeah, I just heard it. Thanks, Joe, for that reading. I had switched it. I had a number of verses, but Lanny, every time you do the reading, Lanny would get up here and read the exact same thing. So I was like, well, Joe don't have to do that. So I switched it to 34. That's the gist of our lesson tonight. I want to reiterate what Brother Jay said this morning. I do take this very seriously in coming up here, the elders letting me come up here and preach the word of God. But don't get it twisted. Brother Delvin said it right, spirit and in truth. So you're going to see me smile. You're going to see me laugh. We got some good scriptures here tonight. Jay gave us a bunch of good scriptures. These are feel-good scriptures. Jan, you did a feel-good sermon last week. There's no reason why you can't smile. There's going to be some verses we read tonight that are going to tell us to not do what we usually do to make us feel bad. How good is that? So let's look here. Let's keep our Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. And 34 will be our last scripture. But we'll read this to get started. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Well, you can end it right there, huh? Do not worry about your life. Are you serious? Yeah, we're serious. Do not worry about your life. That's a big statement. What will you eat or drink? Nor about your body. What will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about the clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon and all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jay talked about that this morning. Not if God so clothes the grass of the... Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, which will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, if you look at that, that is just, it's a comfort passage. It is a comfort passage that we can read, and I love it. And I love these types of passages because I feel they're just as relevant today as they were when they first were written. You know, when you look at the word worry, it's defined as, and notice these definitions, you're going to get various definitions when you look on the internet, that's a given. But these three is what came up. Giving way to anxiety or unease. A state of anxiety or uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So take note of that as we go through, kind of reference back to those and see how that fits. When you search what Americans worry about the most, at least in the last couple years, you're going to get a list that includes things like unjust government, civil unrest, possibly another pandemic, hopefully not, terrorist attacks. You might worry about these things. I was kind of surprised about the list. Those are not the things I worry about. I really don't dwell on those things. So I've made another list. And hopefully this can help drive the point home that we're getting to tonight. The list I have is this: our family, jobs, how about our health, finances?
Yeah,
why not, right? More specifically, how about this? An unfaithful family member. Now it's getting a little real. A sick or a loss of a loved one, an unpaid bill, bad work environment. How about an unfair boss? Then top that off with the things like your car starting to make a funny noise, your appliances are acting up and they need to be replaced, Your grass is brown, taxes are due, gas is high, your kids' grades are not good, they stink at soccer, and chickens ain't laying eggs, whatever the case may be, so on and so on and so on, it piles up, and it can seem nearly impossible not to go throughout a day in this life without worrying about something all the time. I got four papers, that's one. We're moving right along. I told you I'd do it, Angie. So before we get into the lesson, let's ask ourselves a few questions. Do you find it hard to function today because of tomorrow's problems? Are you losing sleep because you can't stop thinking about the things that are going to happen tomorrow or in the future? Do you find, here we go, do you find that you become depressed and shut down as a result of not being able to handle the things that life throws at us? Something to think about. And be honest with yourself on those answers. Well, let's look at a few points, see what the scriptures say, so we can help better prepare ourselves when these situations come up in our lives, or possibly just dissolve them before they have a chance to consume us. First thing we need to do, we need to get God involved. I've never done a PowerPoint. This is the first time. Look at this. Joke's on you, Jay. Joke's on you, buddy. I'd like to thank Parker James. He, if you guys don't know, he's an architectural engineer is what he's studying in Ball State. He's in his senior year. Jay went to Ball State as a comparison. He graduated. Parker's got hours upon hours of drawing and making buildings and designing things. Proud of you, son. Proud of you, son. Nailed it. First thing we need to do is get God involved. The best way to do that is to pray and invite God into our lives. Matthew chapter 7 is going to be our first thing we look at tonight. Matthew chapter 7. And you guys should already be open to there. But think about this. Do you think when we go to God in prayer, are we telling him anything new? Is this the first time he's hearing about the situation that we're bringing him on the table? Absolutely not. God knows everything. God knows everything, but he's just not going to hand that. As we see the scriptures, there's something that we've got to do. There's something that is required from us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 7. You guys know this one. This ain't nothing new. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Here we see that God will provide. Here, listen to this. God will provide our specific needs when? When we ask him. The one thing I want to point out in this passage is this, and I don't think we hit on it enough. This passage suggests that we might need a little bit be more specific in our prayer. Look at verse 9 and 10 again. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? 10. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? You know, we don't need to be, we shouldn't be afraid to be specific when we go to God in prayer and, to put our request upon him. We definitely shouldn't assume that God just knows what we're talking about. You know, if your elbow hurts, pray for your elbow. Why not? I'll pray for your elbow. Tell me. I'll do it. Be specific. Let's be honest with our situations in our life, and that's going to help us, just like these examples say in 9 and 10, be more specific to God. Let's look at Philippians 4. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. And I was debating whether to use a phone or a Bible. We're going with the Bible tonight. Hopefully I can be a little bit faster than the phone. Philippians 4, and we're going to go in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Boom. Be anxious for nothing. He just told us not to worry. Now we don't even have to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We just talked about that. And the peace of God, which surrounds all understanding, listen to that. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a powerful promise. We should all desire that gift of God. And let's be honest, we need that gift of God. For Him to be guarding our hearts and minds, yes, bring it on. I want it. I definitely want it. Flip over to Matthew 21. And we're going to be looking at some of these scriptures. We might go fast. If you guys don't flip to them, that's fine. I'll be reading them. You can check later. But I think they're definitely important. And I love the way Brother Jay had them all up here on the thing. But apparently my undergraduate here doesn't know how to do that quite yet. But I love the way he did that. But we're going to be turning tonight. 21. We're going to look at Matthew 21 starting in 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." This is where I think it can become a little difficult for us. Verse 22 says that whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing. It is essential for us to recognize and believe that God can deliver. If you doubt your prayer, if you doubt that God can't help you in your minute little problem, there is no reason to be going to Him in prayer and asking Him to help. We should never treat prayer as a last-ditch effort. Page 2, we're done. How about that? We've got 2 more. Because let's be honest, sometimes, you know, this is our last step we do. How many have done that? How many of we went to God to prayer the last step? You know, a situation arises in our lives and we're like, we're going at it alone. I got this. No big deal. The next thing you know, we made a bad decision. We've upset somebody. We might have said some things we didn't mean to say, and now we're asking, now the prayer has turned for God, rescue me out of this hole that I've dug myself into. This is the point. By going to God first, when these situations arise, when we go to God first, we're allowing God to be part of our thought process, our decision-making process. Hey, and I need this one, attitude. That way, whatever we're doing, we're making sure we're doing it out of love. And we're doing it the way God wants us to do. We're doing it correctly. Second point. The next thing we need to do is get fellow Christians involved. Boom. Uh-oh. We have a different emoji. Something's happening here. We're getting a little bit less frowny. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Get our fellow Christians involved. Not for them to be nose pots. Not for them to go tell. In Galatians 6, we're going to look at the first couple verses. Listen to this. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law." Bearing one another's burdens. That idea should not be, or it should sound familiar, because that's what Brother Jay's talking about. On Wednesdays, we got the email. Did you guys get the email? That's what we're doing, bearing one another this Wednesday night. He switched it up on us. We did this topic years ago at Trader's Point, and I mean, it was a huge success. It generated so much feedback, so much discussion and conversation, and I think you can see that happening in Brother Jay's class. He's getting a lot of petition and feedback because, let's be honest, I think a lot of us have seen this idea of bearing one another's burdens in action, and we can testify that, hey, quite simply, it works. That's the whole idea. Using one another. You know, this congregation is filled with a lot of knowledge. People from different backgrounds, occupation, education, a lot of different talents. Why would we not use that? Is ammo for our arsenal. Why would we not use that to help us overcome Satan? And let's be honest, when we're walking life's path, being focused, like Brother Jay said, when these problems arise, all that's doing is veering us off track. And so when we go to God and ask Him, and then we go to our fellow Christians and ask for this, our help, that's what that's designed to do, is to keep us back on track. Notice the wording. Let's go over to Romans 12. We've got two passages to look over here real quick. Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And if your Bible's like mine, you can turn over and hit Romans 15. And we're going to start in verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and do not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to the edification, the building up, what we just got done talking about. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another as also Christ has received us to the glory of God. Now let's remember, you know, in our first point, we've asked God to guide us through a situation in our life, right? So there's a possibility he's going to require us to do something we may be uncomfortable with. What? Yes. We may. What? Like what? Well, you know, we might have to call somebody. We might have to call somebody to make things right. We might have to confront somebody. Ooh, we don't like that. Confront somebody. That'll be weird. We might have to meet with the elders. Oof. We might need to ask for help or advice. That's a sign of weakness. I ain't doing that. How about this? If you're like me, you've prayed for God to help us through this transition of finding a new preacher. You might have to come up here and preach a sermon. You might have to teach a class. You might have to, I don't know, write an article in the bulletin. Either way, we are going to need the support from our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us to get through these uncomfortable times. The last thing we might need to do, refocus our train of thought. Look at that smile. Isn't that a lot nicer? Last page. This is great. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. This should be very familiar. Philippians chapter 4. We got done doing 6 and 7. Jay was an 8 today. So we're going to touch on 8 and then we're going to hit 9 with it and see what it's got to say. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, these are all good things, right? These are not the things that were, you know, the other things is what we worry about. You wouldn't worry about these things. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Jay said that today. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. There is that peace that we talked about earlier. That is the peace that we want. Look at Romans 12, and we're going to just look at two verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember earlier I said that we need to get God involved. We've talked to God. This is the part where we hush and we listen to what God has to say, right? We get our minds into the Word and we listen to what He says. You know, it's possible we spend too much time trying to solve our problems and not trying to fix our issues, right? The idea here is simple. If we need to change our outlook, it's essential for us to change our input. One last passage on this, and that's from Romans 8, just a couple pages back. Romans 8. Starting in verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Two options there in verse 6. Verse 7, "But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Well, now it seems a little bit more serious, right? If we're not spiritually minded and focus on the things above, it would seem that we are in the flesh. And as we just read, if we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. So here we go. Let's go back and look at the definition of worry again. We're wrapping this up. Let's look at what worrying was on our definition. Giving way to anxiety or unease. Giving way. A state of anxiety or uncertainty over actual or potential problems. What ifs? Jay, you hit on that a little bit today. Who's worrying about the what ifs? The stuff that's not even happening. Allowing one's mind. That's the big one. Allowing one's mind. Who is allowing one's mind to dwell in difficulty or troubles? It's clear to me worrying is a choice. We don't have to do it. We're actually told not to do it in the scriptures. So let's go back. Let's go back to all the way back to Matthew chapter 6. We're wrapping this up very quickly here. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at one verse. One verse sums up my whole lesson. I could have just emphasized it at the beginning and I could have shut up and gotten out of here. But I wouldn't have had a lesson, so I didn't do that. Verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." You know, this is the... This is the point when if my dad was up here, he'd be, you know, he'd be giving this podium the what for and sending this home. Charles, you've seen him do it where he, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, no matter what scenario in our lives that we can come up with, there is no excuse to allow ourselves to worry and be anxious. We have to desire and work for that peace that God promises us. We read it tonight. It's there for our taking. We just have to go for it. I hope this lesson has encouraged you the way it has me. I've been real encouraged today. Mackenzie encouraged me. Jay encouraged me. All the guys that are preaching have encouraged me. You know, they said, don't set the bar too high. I think Jay did that this morning. That was amazing. So... But I have been encouraged. This has been fun. You can tell I'm smiling. I'm glad this is wrapping up. I've been super encouraged, especially with the bulletins and everybody stepping up. And it's been real fun to see, because you know there's a little bit of uncertainty when a preacher leaves, and I think we have done an excellent job. Everybody has stepped up to the plate. But if you're here tonight, now let's look at this. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you've fallen away, or if you're not a Christian, I'm going to say it again. You have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's it. Seek first. The answers are here. We read it. There is peace for us. All we got to do is go and grab it. Remember, you got to do like what Mackenzie did today. If you want to go to heaven, we have to start making arrangements now for that. If we can help you in any way, I encourage you to come forward now as we stand and sing.